Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Today we're in Genesis 47 and 48. Joseph was mistreated, imprisoned, and forgotten. Yet he remained faithful to God. And in the end, God honored him and used him greatly. His life illustrates an important truth. Our role is to remain always faithful to God. Today's lesson is called The Wise Leadership of Joseph.
Well, at this point in our journey through the book of Genesis, we're given some insight into the wise leadership of Joseph during these days of famine. Here in chapter 47 and in verse 13, we read, "There was no food in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished by reason of the famine." Now, remember here that under the leadership of Joseph and his direction, grain from seven bumper crop years had been stored in these massive granaries in preparation for a seven-year famine. Now, the people are buying grain. Now that the famine has arrived, they're buying it from the government of Egypt. And we're told here that at some point the people run out of money, so they began trading their livestock for grain. And then they run out of livestock, so what's left? Well, verse 18 tells us, "The people said to Joseph, 'There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our land. Buy us and our land for food, and we with our land will be servants to Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die.'" Well, now at this point, Joseph demonstrates compassion. He's loyal to Pharaoh, the government of Egypt, but he's not going to take advantage of the people. So he creates a generous system for them as they farm the land. We're given that system here in verse 24 as he responds to them, "At the harvests you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and four-fifths shall be your own as seed for the field and as food for yourselves and your households and as food for your little ones." Now, Old Testament scholars believe this was a tax plan set up for the benefit of both Pharaoh and the people. Everyone essentially wins here. In fact, verse 26 tells us that this system remained in force until the time of Moses. So it lasts 400 years. I can't imagine a tax plan working so well that you keep it running 400 years. We change our tax plan every other election. Well, now keep in mind that this is also the perfect opportunity for Joseph to pad his own pockets, to follow, you know, that pattern of power that so many leaders have taken throughout history. But I want you to see here, Joseph's plan gives the people seed and food for their families. And I love how he adds here in verse 24, "and for your little ones." No wonder the Egyptians loved and respected Joseph. In fact, verse 25 tells us that they said to him, "You have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh." In other words, we're going to be loyal Egyptian citizens out of sheer gratitude for your kindness and care for us. Now, this wonderful truth is captured here in verse 27. "Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it and were fruitful and multiplied greatly." In other words, God is keeping his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is living in Egypt with his family, and just as God promised, his family is multiplying. In fact, when they leave Egypt some 400 years later, this family of 70 will have become a nation of several million people. So if I could put this text into the form of a principle, it would be this: God's promises have their own perfect timing. If you're worried today that God has forgotten to keep his promises to you, or maybe he has somehow, you know, missed the deadline, well, he hasn't. His timing is absolutely perfect. In fact, verse 28 says here, "And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. Wow. Not only has Jacob lived a long time, but this is the author's way of alerting us to the fact that the age of the patriarchs, the era of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, well, that's all now coming to a close. Jacob calls Joseph to his bedside and says to him here in verse 29, "Do not bury me in Egypt." Why? He wants to be buried in the land of Canaan. Why? This is the land God promised to the nation Israel. So this is more than Jacob just wanting a nice cemetery plot under a big oak tree. This is Jacob's statement of faith. "I want you to bury me in the land of promise because that's where I belong." And Joseph agrees. But then Jacob here makes Joseph take an oath that he will keep his promise. And I think that's because, well, Joseph's been in Egypt all these years, and Jacob's probably wondering if some of Egypt has gotten inside of Joseph. But it hasn't at all. Joseph will keep his word. Now, Genesis chapter 48 focuses entirely on the future of the nation Israel. And this narrative highlights the two sons of Joseph who were born in Egypt. Manasseh is the oldest, and Ephraim is the youngest. More than likely, now they're both in their 20s at this point. Well, Joseph gets word that his father's dying, so he goes to his bedside with his two sons, and Jacob again, called Israel here, speaks to Joseph and begins to recount the promises God made to him many years before. Then here in verse 5, he will ask that his two grandsons come to his bedside, and he says to Joseph, "And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are." In other words, Jacob adopts these two grandsons and makes them equal to his own sons. Joseph realizes at this point that his father is about to give a blessing to these two young men. So here in verse 13, Joseph positions his oldest son Manasseh at Jacob's right hand, which symbolizes the place of prominence, and Ephraim, his secondborn, is placed at Jacob's left hand. But as Jacob begins to give his blessing, he suddenly crosses his hands, switching the greater blessing to the younger son. And verse 17 tells us, "When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, 'Not this way, my father, since this one is my firstborn. Well, put your right hand on his head.' But his father refused and said, 'I know, my son, I know.'" See, this was God's direction to the old patriarch Jacob, who you remember was the second-born son who had received the firstborn blessing. That had been God's plan. And this is God's plan now. Let me put it this way. God's plan often reverses our plans. You know, sometimes God turns everything upside down in order to make everything right side up. Maybe you've had some plan, some dream that's it's been fading away. Maybe it's unfulfilled. Maybe God is keeping some door closed, or maybe somebody else is receiving the blessing that you wanted to have. I can remember applying to a church to become their pastor after I finished my seminary studies, and this little church seemed interested. Everything was the right fit. My wife and I visited several times. I preached several times. I met with the leadership. My wife had, in fact, recently delivered twin boys, and they could provide for us. Well, we're ready to settle down and begin a new ministry. But then a week after graduation, they sent me their decision. Well, they weren't interested in me after all. Frankly, I didn't know what to do about that. A few months later, God moved our hearts in an entirely different direction. We ended up planting from scratch a church where we've now served some 40 years. You know, I'd like to say that when God closes a door, he opens a window, We climbed through that window and learned, and maybe you've learned too, what Joseph learned, that God's thoughts and plans aren't necessarily our thoughts and plans. Sometimes doors remain shut and God opens a window to something entirely different. In fact, maybe the window doesn't open for a while until God's ready and His timing is perfect. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We'll continue traveling through the Bible next time. To learn more about us and the other resources we have available, visit wisdomonline.org. When Stephen records these daily lessons, we actually capture them on video. If you'd like to watch each lesson, subscribe to the Wisdom International YouTube channel. Join us again next time.